We have come to the fourth day of Christmas, fourth day in the octave of Christmas. It's an octave of celebration. I know most people think of the days between Christmas and New Year's as holiday time, vacation time, and that's true. But it's also a celebration of Christmas. But if you follow the liturgy each day, you know that we're not only celebrating the birth of Jesus, we're celebrating something bigger. You could say the fuller picture of what Jesus came to do and what he encountered when he came and how he overcame the obstacles. So the church very deliberately puts right after Christmas the Feast of St. Stephen on December 26th, the Feast of St. John on December 27th, and then today, December 28th, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. At least this feast, the Holy Innocents, seems to go with Christmas because these children really were massacred shortly after Jesus was born, unlike St. Stephen or St. John. But it's a strange feast, too, because we're talking about the martyrdom of innocent children, infants. This is an example of, maybe one of the best examples, of how the church declares that we can hold together rejoicing and grieving. We can, in fact, not just joy and sadness, but great rejoicing and terrible grief, deep sorrow. We can hold them together, we can have both, which is something that we would not think is possible. Most people think that if you face tragedy or something bad happens, then God is against you, or maybe there's no God, or maybe he's not any good, or maybe he can't help you because look at what bad things happened in the world or what bad things happened in your life, so there's no joy for you. And on the other hand, when everything's going fine, we think, oh, okay, everything's going fine and we just hope nothing goes wrong. But life is not like that. Life itself is a mixture of joys and sorrows, great events and terrible events. So this feast day helps us not just put these together because they're together anyway, but to see how they can remain together without canceling each other out. Now, we would think that great joy would cancel out all our sorrows. It doesn't. And we would think that terrible tragedies and suffering would cancel out all our joys. They don't. That's not how it works. So the joyful part of this story is, of course, Jesus is born. Jesus is God with us. He has come into the world. He's born in Bethlehem, and he's saved. Herod tries to kill him, and because of the angel and because of Joseph's prompt obedience to the angel, Jesus is rescued. Great. It works out great for him. It reminds me of what we see in so many Hollywood movies. The star of the movie escapes at the last minute and the building blows up. Maybe a lot of other people die, but at least the hero of the movie is saved. And we feel this sense of relief that the hero is saved. We don't think about all those other people. This is in movies all the time. Cars blowing up and buildings collapsing and aliens coming and destroying the world. But the hero always seems to escape at the last minute. That's something like what happened with Jesus. And we say, well, good. Good for him. But we're not simply celebrating the escape of Jesus into Egypt. We're celebrating the children themselves, the holy innocents. So we have to take a good hard look at the negative side here, the tragedy here. And it's a terrible one. It's bad enough when children die, when they die of sickness or when they die by accident or something. But in this case, these children are deliberately killed by Herod and his soldiers. It's a ruthless act of misuse of power against the most helpless people of all. So this kind of thing is worse. And the gospel ends on a very somber note. This prophecy of Jeremiah that Rachel is weeping for her children and she will not be consoled because they're no more. What can we say to the mothers in Bethlehem whose baby boys have been killed. What can we say to them? Seems like there's no answer. And the children themselves are dead. So you say, well, how can we celebrate that? The liturgy is a joyful liturgy. The psalm we sang, our soul has been rescued like a bird from the fowler's snare. They weren't rescued. They were killed. The martyrs that we honor throughout the year, at least they decided to offer their lives for Christ. These children didn't decide that. They didn't even know what was happening. They can't even talk. They don't have an understanding of what's happening. They're simply innocent victims, slaughtered, massacred. What we see here is, and again, the Gospels do this all the time. We see this combination of joy and sorrow, of victory and defeat. And we have to understand how they go together, because the story of the Magi is a great story. The Magi come from a distant place and they find the newborn infant. But it's because they came that Herod finds out that the newborn king of the Jews is born. It's because of the Magi that Herod can target the Jesus and, by extension, these children. So it's as if to say the great story of the Magi is also a tragic story. As if the birth of Jesus, the joyful celebration of the birth of Jesus, is also a sorrowful story. What we see here is God entering right into the midst of the worst places of the human condition. God deliberately going face to face with evil, with ruthless leaders like King Herod the Great, with tragedies, with losses, with deep sorrow. It's not as if when something bad happens, God isn't around. No, he's right in the middle of it. He's facing it. And it's faith that makes it possible for us to face the worst tragedies. People with faith can actually look at a tragedy like this and not be defeated and not despair and commit suicide, because there's something more than what looks like an absolute tragedy. And that's what this feast celebrates. The victory, the theme that was chosen for the Mass today, our help is in the name of the Lord. It's taken from today's psalm. Our help is in the name of the Lord. We do have help. The infants, nobody helped them. The families did what they could, I'm sure. But nobody helped them. Nobody saved them. But the Lord saved them. And now we celebrate them rejoicing in heaven, dancing, skipping like lambs, rejoicing in heaven with all the angels and saints. So in the bigger picture, this is a victory for the children. And it's not that Jesus' coming was worse for them. That's what it looks like without faith, right? If Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem, those children wouldn't have been killed. So we say, well, it's as if Jesus' coming is worse. No. Yeah, in the moment, that's how it looks. And to the mothers in Bethlehem, that's how it looks. But step back a little bit from that unspeakable tragedy and see that it's because Jesus came into the world that these children now can rejoice, can dance for joy. The worst possible things that happen in life, and they're almost too much to even speak about, are reversed, are overcome by God. That's what our faith tells us. Jesus, who escaped when he was an infant, did not escape on Good Friday. He didn't come into the world to sneak away from suffering. He came into the world in order to suffer, in order to take it on, in order to be the answer to the levels of suffering that we simply cannot understand. You know we can't understand them. Why do these things happen? I don't know why. But that they happen doesn't defeat the plan of God or the goodness of God or rejoicing in God. No. Now, we know that these children are not the only ones to be killed. and Herod is not the only one to kill innocent children. And Herod, by the way, he's called Herod the Great, but he could just as easily be called Herod the Terrible or Herod the Evil. He had not only these children killed, he had some of his own children killed. I think he had three of his sons killed, or four. He had one of his wives killed. Anyone who he thought was a threat to his kingdom, to his reign, he had no hesitation of killing them. He's a ruthless man. And he's not the only one. You know the story of the Pharaoh when the Israelites were in Egypt earlier than this. It's an Old Testament story. What happened? The Pharaoh said, these Hebrews, they're getting to be too numerous. We're getting threatened by them. Let's kill off the babies. And so they ordered all the baby boys be thrown into the Nile River. The same kind of an idea, that innocent children can be sacrificed for those who have greed for power. No, it happens. It still happens in our own day. Many people like to associate this feast day with the tragedy of abortion in the world, because when it comes to abortion, it's innocent children being killed. Sometimes people say, well, it's not the same because it's not an evil force killing innocent children. It's the mothers themselves. But if you understand, and if you know people who have faced the problem of abortion or who have experienced abortion, the mothers themselves usually feel forced. They feel pressured. And sometimes they are forced. So it's not just mothers saying, I don't want my child, or I don't care about that. That's the way it sometimes looks. No, it's pressure, it's force, it's manipulation, it's despair, it's hopelessness. And so it's true that those sorts of factors which make life look terrible do not end the story. This is a feast day. This is a joyful feast day of victory over death. Not in this life, not in this world. The children really were killed. They weren't rescued. Not in this life, but they were rescued for eternal life. Now we know, if you think of the theology of how heaven was opened for us, heaven was opened for us when Jesus died and went to hell and rescued all those who were waiting, including these children. So yes, they died when Jesus was still a baby, but they had to wait. Maybe they rejoiced in the goodness of God, but they still had to wait, just like everybody else, just like St. Joseph, just like all the great men and women of the Old Testament. They had to wait because the victory, the solution to death is Jesus Christ, Jesus' own death and resurrection. So that's the center of the whole story. Now, it doesn't mention it here, but when we say our help is in the name of the Lord, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about fleeing into Egypt. We're talking about Jesus opening the gates of heaven and rescuing not only the innocent, but even sinners. So it's a great story to celebrate. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, because the Savior has come. The Savior of everyone who's willing to be saved. So these children are innocent. They never sinned. But we're not innocent, and we're saved by the power of Jesus' death and resurrection. So that's what we celebrate today. Our help is in the name of the Lord. We are not hopeless. We're not in despair. We're not defeated by evil. We're not overcome by tragedies, as bad as they are, because our help is in the name of the Lord, and the Lord is victorious over sin, over death, over evil powers, over everything. He's king of the world. That's who we celebrate. That's whose birthday we celebrate in this holy octave.